All right, so Brett Vickery has been gone from the WGN Morning News for a few months. There's a lot of rumors going around. Did she have some work done and she needed to take some time off for that? Was she suspended? I don't think that's it either. But to talk about this journey in the last few months is Brett Vickery. Brett, how are you?
I'm here to squash the rumors, Dave.
I guess so.
Oh, my gosh.
What work did you have done?
I had a whole child.
Yeah, a whole child, yes.
Yes, one child, yeah. And that was a lot of work, Dave, so yeah. I needed some time to recover.
I would think so. I would think, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. I know, you know, when I think about yours and your hubby's schedule, because I know what he does for a living, it's got to be an interesting balancing game.
It is. My husband, John, is a firefighter, and firefighter EMT for Bourbonnais Fire Department. And so he works 24 hours on and then 48 hours off, which in reality is great because, as we know, I get up at 2 in the morning and I work till about 10 and don't get home till around 11 a.m. So we both like kind of work overnights-ish. And so it was going to be a little dance of how we were going to make this work after having a baby. But in essence, we were like, okay, this will be great because if he worked a 9-to-5 or at one point he was a personal trainer and he worked in the morning and then a big chunk at night when people were working out at the gym and we just never saw each other.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, how about you get, you know, 24 of your 48 hours a week done all at once so that way you're home for two straight days and then we spend, you know, a great majority of our time together. So the hiccup was, what's the childcare option for overnight between 3 a.m. and, you know, 8 a.m. when he gets home. And still working out kinks, but overall my parents, my son Michael's grandma has completely stepped in and said, this is my purpose.
I was
made for this.
You're
this
lucky.
Is my moment.
How lucky.
I know, I'm very blessed. And my dad, he also steps in because conveniently my dad runs a nonprofit 10 minutes down the road from us in the southwest suburbs.
Okay.
And so he's like, I'm going to finagle my work schedule so I can kind of be around and stay overnight and have my meetings be the day before or the day after so I can, you know, be with my grandson and also be with my wife and help out in that way.
Wow.
And it was totally a God thing of how it all worked out. And my husband works in Bourbonnais and my parents live in Kankakee. So he'll wake up extra early before his shift and sometimes drop the baby off down by them in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all based on just the convenience of where everybody works and lives.
What's that drive from your place to Bourbonnais? It can't be that bad if you're in the southwest suburbs.
It's about an hour. But, you know, like when you suburbanites are so used to just driving however long it takes to get somewhere.
It's an hour from anywhere.
Exactly. So it doesn't even matter. And of course, you know, my parents have lives I want them to enjoy, you know, once they retire. So there's going to be, you know, more kinks in the childcare system at some point. But for right now, in the preliminary period of just getting back in the swing of things and becoming a working mom, they have been just crucial in the success of getting to come to work and not having to worry at all.
I would say blessed is the right word to have that support system in life. And, you know, when you first found out, and by the way, you do such a beautiful job of documenting so many of these things on social media in such a lovely way. But like you must have already had some foresight, right? Like, this is beautiful. This is fabulous. Yeah, how are we going to do this?
Yeah. I think that's why I say my parents are my best friends because, you know, even though there was like, how are we going to do this? It wasn't a, how are we going to do this? I'm freaking out. I'm worried. Like, how's this going to work? Like, I got to make all these requests and make these big asks. It was like, when we found out we were pregnant, it was a, how are we going to do this in a, we got to just figure it out. But there was no question on if we were going to have help.
Yeah.
Or assistance, or that my family or even John's family would step in if we needed them. And I know I don't take that for granted. I know a lot of people don't have that. They find out they're having a baby and they are excited for 2 seconds and then they're freaking out because they don't know how they're going to continue their lives or their careers while having a family.
Right. Well, here's the other thing, too. You know, the fact that you have, this is the first grandbaby in your family, right? Yeah, this is he's always going to be the champion because it is the first. So you get to enjoy that part of it because everyone's going to turn up. By the time your youngest siblings have kids, they're going to be like, Yeah. Leave him in the car.
Exactly. Well, and I already kind of feel that because we call my son MJ, Michael James is his full name. And so MJ is not only the first grandbaby on my side, but he's the first boy on my side in a couple of generations.
Right.
So he's the prince, okay? But then on John's side of the family, he's the fifth grandbaby and he's the youngest. And so I see the other end of it of just like, oh yeah, it's just another one. You know, they're excited, but he's not the first on the other side of the family.
You know, it's funny you say that. I think when my oldest son was born, he's 25 now. I think on one side of the family, he was like the 11th, but then he was the first on, on the other side. And it does champion that. And I'm sure your dad, after being surrounded by women for so long, he's probably like, yeah, count me in. I've got this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it. You know, my name is Brett for a reason. I say that they didn't have a girl name option when I was born because they wanted a boy so bad. They just chucked an H in the name to make it look more feminine. and then they had my sister Jalen, and then they tried one more time for a boy and got twin girls.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, my dad had to wait 30 years for his boy. And granted, he's best friends with my husband, so he, you know, views John as his son. But, you know, his grandson is named after him, so safe to say my dad is obsessed with him. And I know they're going to get into so much trouble as he gets older. I already know.
And I think you've talked about this before, but your dad coached all of you guys in sports and stuff, right? Right. So he's probably looking forward to coaching his grandson.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I mean, whether it's sports or like they live on the Kankakee River, he's like, we're going to fish, we're going to hunt, we're going to do all these things that your mom would never let me do with you girls. I'm like, great. Great.
I love it. And the fishing too, of course. But you know, like it does change your perspective on life. Like, you know, you're married at first and you're kind of reveling in being newlyweds and everything else, but having a kid really changes everything because it changes your purpose.
Oh my gosh, completely. Right. I mean, everyone told me, you know, you don't realize how much your parents love you until you have your own kid. And I got that vantage point of when my parents say they love me, it's like, oh, I get it now. I understand. And then same with my relationship with John. I thought I was in love with him already. And then watching him be a dad is like the greatest thing ever. And it really does, you know, MJ is more important than my right hand at this point. You know, like it's a level of love and connection that people always talk about and everyone's like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever. And then now I'm one of those people. It's the greatest thing ever.
That's awesome. You know, the other thing, too, is that as you get older and wiser and have a kid around you, you know, my kids always still to this day, like, well, you know, they'll ask me for some advice and I'll always come up with it. But there's no book for this. Mm-hmm. I will say it's kind of trial by fire.
Yeah.
I mean, you learn from your parents. You learn. And I say this because it's absolutely true. Some things you learn from your parents in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. And some things you might not have appreciated or liked as much that you tried to avoid a little bit on how kids were raised and how things were done back then.
Yeah. My dad challenged John and I when we found out we were pregnant. He was like, I encourage you all to write down what you want, what you loved about your childhood and like how, you know, our parents did as parents and then what you would not like to bring into our son's childhood. And then I asked the same of my parents of like, what did you think that you executed really well? And what's something that you think you would do a little bit differently? And just reflection really throughout the pregnancy was really eye-opening. And it was good that we wrote it down too, to have kind of like a point of reference of like, am I doing everything that I said I wanted to do? And I, being a mom too, I looked into it, of course, not only just people saying, oh my gosh, everything changes, your spirit changes, your mind changes, but physically, like the science down to it, like our women's brain matter changes so we can be functional humans on no sleep. And if you're breastfeeding, like, you know, the baby's sucking the life out of you. I studied that more and I realized too, I'm very type A. I'm very, I would say impatient.
Yeah.
And then after having my son, I still have that type A personality where I like to plan things and still be very organized, but I'm able to be like, if this doesn't work out, it's fine. If I'm not on time for something besides work, obviously, it's fine. And he has allowed me to slow down and almost break the bad part of my type A-ness.
Right. I know. You cannot control everything.
You can't control everything. And I'm everything. Type A, too. Yeah.
I'm type A, too. And it's even harder as you get older. Like, now, you know, it's me having a 25-year-old, a almost 21-year-old, and a 14-year-old. You still want to manage things, and you still want to have things done. And at some point, at this point, I'm like, I kind of let some of this go.
Yes.
Not at your age and not with a newborn, but like at some point you have to pivot a little bit, and not everything goes as planned. And I'm sure you've learned that already.
Yeah. And I'm the eldest of four daughters, like I said. And so I already was, you know, jokingly the parent, motherly eldest sister to my three younger sisters. And all the way up until the end, I still not necessarily try to manage their lives. They're 25 and 23, but I still would think about them like they're my kids almost, trying to give them, whether it's unsolicited advice or I would worry about them. And then I'm like, wait, I'm not someone's hypothetical mother. I'm someone's actual mother now. Yeah, I don't have the capacity to worry about my grown sisters, you know? So that's another thing that it's been a nice thing to let that go.
Always seen you as, even though your parents are very involved, obviously, I've always seen you very matriarchal in your family.
Thank you.
Like, you are running things. I can tell you that. All right. Brett did not have any work done. She had a full baby. And we'll talk more with Brett Vickery from the WGN Morning News right after this on 720 WGN. All right. We're talking to Brett Vickery, WGN Morning News. Congratulations on new baby, new boy.
Thank you.
I saw you bring your son into the studio, I think, the first day.
Yes.
How were the curmudgeons?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so some behind the scenes, like, tidbit, you know, like, I talked to them gradually throughout my maternity leave, just like them checking on me and stuff.
That's
and
cool.
Larry, my bestie, is like, so are you going to bring John and the baby? Like, totally just, like, almost joking. And I was like, wait, can I? And then that kind of got, like, there wasn't much talk because, you know, I'm on leave. We're not, you know, talking shop while I'm on leave necessarily. But I was like, it's the morning show. You can do anything you want pretty much on this morning show within reason. Mm-hmm. And so my husband was off that day and John's, you know, my biggest supporter. And I said, well, there's no point in us driving two cars or you sleeping an extra hour just to sit in traffic. Why don't you just come with me? And they were there the full 6 hours starting at 4 a.m. And I will say I was, you know, transparently, I did have a bit of a mental breakdown the night before, mainly because I had so many people texting me, how are you feeling? How are you feeling going back? And it gave me anxiety. The thing that made it better is that I didn't have to leave my baby the first day. I got to bring him with me. And what job or what show or what place allows you to be able to bring your baby and your husband to work? I think every mom should be allowed to bring their baby on the first day. That made the transition so much easier. And if you miss the segment, there's clips online and on my social media. But I was able to bring the baby mainly because MJ, my son, is so chill. Like, he got passed around the whole newsroom. All the anchors were hanging out with him on the air. And he was just like, okay, I'm just getting passed around by all these cranky strangers. And it's fine.
Cranky. Well, we all know Pat loves kids, but I think you've softened Larry up a little bit. Because he can be a little like, oh, yeah, you're pregnant. Okay, then you'll have another one. Then they'll grow up. Then they'll be angry at you. And they're going to leave your room a mess. They're going to be borrowing money. Like, I know him. And I know how that goes. But I think you've softened him up a little bit.
Thank you. You're not the first person to say that. I had one of his photographers, Mike D'Angelo, is his primary photographer for Backstory, very talented. And I was chatting with him one day, and then I'm like, oh yeah, Larry's doing this, and he's like, how do you know that? I'm like, Larry's my guy. He tells me stuff. He's like, Larry talks to you more than most people. He's nice to you. I'm like, I don't know what to say. But yeah, it was great having all of them meet. It was surreal to have my son meet my coworkers, and not only my coworkers, but my mentors and people I've grown up watching. And and everyone did make fun of Larry on social media because he was like holding the baby like he was like glass. He was like, and didn't want the baby to puke on his suit.
Of course
you know?
Not. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. But no, I do feel like He's warmed up, but you know, it's really hard because, you know, that crew, because how many years are you doing this now?
I'm going on 3 years.
Is it really three years? Holy cow. So like, but these people have been together 30.
Yeah. Three years is nothing. Drop in the bucket.
It's a drop in the bucket. So that like when there's somebody new, I mean, you fit right in. And number one, absolutely fit right in, but you did get a really warm welcome. And I remember what you told me about your interview 3 years ago now, oh my God,
yep.
About Larry and just kind of, you know, sitting
there. He was so scary. Oh my gosh. He just stared at me when I did the interview. The whole A-team was in the conference room with the news director and the executive producer.
Yeah.
And they're all just drilling me. And you'd think that would be scary. And drilling is like a strong word because it's Robin and Pat, you know, like it. To me, it felt like they were drilling me with questions, but they were just being themselves. But I didn't, you know, fully know them back then. But the scariest part was Larry in the corner staring at me, saying nothing. And at one point, I asked him about that. You know, once he and I became besties, I was like, "Okay, Larry, why didn't you say anything?
Yeah.
Like, you said nothing." And I was like, "Did you do that to the rest of the people you interviewed? Because they interviewed many other people." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I asked plenty of questions to the other people that we interviewed." And I said, "Okay, so why didn't you ask me any questions?" And you just stared at me like a psycho in the corner, freaking me out. And he was like, "Yeah, it's because I had a good feeling about you and I didn't have any questions. I thought you were great. No questions means I thought you were perfect for the role."
And you're having a good time too. And I know you will find it within a few weeks, it'll be easy peasy. You'll find that balance. You'll know how to do it and you'll be on your way. But congratulations to you. Very happy for you, Brett.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.